What's going on, people? This is Dr. Nehemiah Mabry, a.k.a. Nee, from STEM Media, and this is The Dope Science Show with my homegirl, Steph.
Hello, welcome to The Dope Science Show with Stephanie Lowe, a.k.a. Science Steph with Steph. Thank you for your ears and minds. I hope that the show sparks new ideas, new opportunities, and conversations. I want us to learn and grow. We are all curious, innovative, and experimental in our daily lives. We are all dope scientists. Hey, you guys. Thank you so much for listening to the show. Thank you for the retweets, the comments, the tips, and just everything you guys do to keep me motivated and connected to the community. We are all dope scientists, and today's show features my friend, charismatic and dynamic host of the podcast, Just Say Words. His name is Jay. He's really a great conversationalist. He is always thinking outside of the box. I love how he, I love his mindset in the regards to trying to be open-minded in regards to patriarchy and how it affects our society. And he's a feminist. I love it when I meet a man who's a feminist. It's like he gets that feminist or feminism is closer to what I think of as womanism or humanism, where we're all human and we should be treated equal. You know, it's basically just human rights. So he is an advocate of that, and I've been a fan for a while. I listen to his show pretty regularly. He talks about everything from pop culture, the politics, sports, and he's definitely uncensored. So in this episode, we talk a lot about science. And I was like, yes, we actually talk about science. We've done it. We've accomplished our goal. And it was very cool because I picked these articles so that I can have some idea of what I would like to talk about, but I didn't want to just do it in a boring manner. I kind of try to just naturally flow with the conversation and direct the topic according to the articles I had read. So it was really fun. We meandered into the rabbit hole, and we talk about a lot of interesting things that you wouldn't think would be related. A lot of rambling. And it is definitely adult rated. It's not R rated. Probably like PG-13. But I always let people know because they're like, you're in science. And it's a science show, so you're like Bill Nye, right? You're here for the kids, right? I'm like, well, I mean, kids can listen if they like. But I'm talking to, you know, adults and young, you know, young people who can relate to me. So if you're a kid and you can relate to what I'm talking about, hey, do you. So I hope you guys enjoy the show. And let's start the show.
Yeah, something special, you know, something epic, Lloyd Banks, you know, cause if thugging on me, he don't wanna see you smile, baby. He wanna be the reason you smile. He wanna be the reason you smile. He wanna be the reason you smile.
Well, hello, hello, Jay. This is Steph. How's it going?
Everything is good. How are you, ma'am?
Awesome, awesome. So, you guys, this is my cool friend. His name is Jay from the Just Say Words podcast. I've been following him for a little bit. It was your show is actually one of the first podcasts that I really got into on SoundCloud. And so thank you so much for coming on the show. I was a little nervous asking you.
Oh, no. Thanks for having me, man. Like, I really enjoy what you're doing. Your show is taking off. I learn something new every episode.
Well, that's cool. I try. I feel like I never really know where it's going to go in the episode, but I'm trying to figure out how I can make it more that you learned something at some point. I really am trying to get that way. So I was so excited because you had me on your show like a couple of weeks ago. And considering your show is one of the first I ever listened to, I was like, oh, this is so cool. And we got into this cool conversation where you were surprisingly like anti-space. Oh, wait. Before I go into that, can you tell the audience a little bit more about who you are and your show and just whatever you want to say about that so they get an idea of what, who and what you do?
Okay, so hi again. I'm Jay from the Just Say Words podcast. The Just Say Words podcast has been categorized as a bunch of things. It's been, people have said it's a news podcast. Some people say it's an entertainment podcast. It's essentially a show where I kind of talk about whatever. I find some current topics. I find some wacky news or odd news. And then I find we do a little bit of sports. We throw in some current events and various other things, and I just kind of give my take on it. I think my show is different than a lot of other shows. One, because it's a solo host podcast, and sometimes those get a negative review because people like, you know, crews or like duos because they had it's much more conversational. I think with my show, I get to crack jokes by myself, and then it kind of I throw it to the audience. I try to make it as interactive as possible. What else? So what do I do for... So day-to-day, my day in and day out job is a web developer. I have a degree in computer science. So I'm very into like technical stuff, so I try not to make the show super nerdy about coding or gadgets or that kind of stuff, but I do throw that stuff in there because that's what I do day in and day out. I just recently became part of a marketing team, so now I'm very into branding and helping other people increase their brands and do other things. So that's why, like, once I got into the podcast, I wanted to do all this other stuff, like merch and all this other stuff, working with other people because it helps build my brand and while also shines light on their brand. So yeah, you guys can follow me on like SoundCloud. You can just search Just Say Words. You can find me on iTunes. Same. Just be sure when you do that, leave a comment, rate and subscribe and review and do all that dope stuff because I want to have more listeners and I want to have more people to interact with.
That's awesome. That's super awesome. And I love what you're doing with the merchandise. Well, you're also part of this like podcast community called like the Potters Family, which I found through you and I was like, what is this? And I love how everyone like helps each other, and I was like using the hashtag before I even like signed up to like for the directory.
Like Podcast in Color and stuff.
Yeah. Mhm. Okay. Isn't that the same thing, or am I confused?
There are different communities, and I know like this is the thing.
I'm new to this.
Well, no, that's fine. I know that when you were on my show, we were talking about it, and we were just talking about how there are various different groups and various hashtags. So, yes, there is Potter and Family, and then there's the Pod Squad, then there's the Podcast in Color, and then there's the Support POC Pods, which is Support People of Color Pods. There's podcast culture. There's all these different things to where, like, you can get in these groups or, like, you know, you can kind of use various hashtags. And that also helps with branding, right? But it's also one of those things where the branding is very much in your control, right? I think this is a conversation you and I had where you're like, you know, what can I do on my own and what, you know, is the thing that I need help with? And my thing that so the way that I want to support people is basically comes from a place of me not being supported when I first started my podcast, right? Like I said, as a solo host, I don't have another person to bounce ideas off of. There was nobody who was really out there to necessarily help me. So I kind of was like fumbling around and like, well, I guess I should do this. So then I got it. Like, of course I have this crazy work ethic where it's not like I'm a perfectionist, but I want things to be right. And I wanted my show to be visible. And it took a really long time for my show to become visible. And I also think, there wasn't the communities that there are now when I first started my show. And that's what, like, I'm telling you, like, everything grew so fast. Like, I've only been doing my show maybe about less than a year and a half. And the communities that are out, Yeah, like the communities that are out there now weren't there when I first started. So I did like all of this stuff on my own. So I had this crazy work ethic because I was, it was like for people who watched The Walking Dead, like I feel like I was a part of like Rick's group. Like I was just out in the wild by myself. So when I found a community, like a community full of people who were like, oh, we want to help you. I'm just like, no, I can do it myself. Like I was being like super, super aggressive about it. And I'm like, yeah, no, I want these people to help me. But in turn, like when I see a new show or something like that, I want to, you know, I want to make sure I'm retweeting. If they have a hashtag, I want to make sure they use it. If I listen to the show and I enjoy it, I try to plug it as much as I possibly can on my show. Because I know what it's like to not get shout outs. I know what it's like to not be mentioned. And you know that you're putting out a quality product. So I want to make sure that I'm doing my part.
That's so cool. And I know some of my listeners are like, what are they talking about? I'm like, well, you know, when you get two podcasters together, we're going to geek out a little bit about that because that's super, it's super cool. Like I'm excited about being a part of the podcasting community. Like it's a creative outlet and it's also like so fun to create something and see it grow. It's like kind of like a game in a way. And it's for me, and it's really rewarding, and it's cool to meet you and other people as I like start reaching out more. Like out now that I'm like, okay, I think I'm kind of okay at this. Now I'm like, I can like talk to people. It's just a really great thing, and I highly recommend people like listen to his show. Maybe try your own podcast or something like that.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, it's super fun, you guys. Well, I'm really excited. What do you think? This is the last podcast question. But what is your like goal? Like, what would be your dream like end result for this? For like your show?
I haven't really thought about it yet. Like, I think about it from time to time. Like, what is the thing that I want to do that'll make me be like, I did everything I could possibly do, right? So I haven't reached that point. I mean, I think the progression of it, right? So I started out with that whole, the thing they tell you to do in school, like have these short-term goals and midterm and long-term goals, right? So I was, I remember when I first started, I was getting like 10 plays and I was excited. Like 10 people took the time to listen to my show. And that's the thing that I still hold like near and dear, even when it were like over 100 or over 200 plays. Like I think about that because I appreciate, like, I like doing the show. I'm doing the show out of fun, but I appreciate the people for listening because you gave up 30 minutes, 45 minutes.
I know, so precious.
Of your time to listen to me like ramble on about some silly news or like some sports star who said something that was offensive, right? and then like, so I still kind of hold on to that. I think the thing that I really want to get into is like meetups, meet and greets, live shows. I think that's the long-term goal where it's like, oh, I want to do that. I don't necessarily want like famous. I don't want to be doing like, oh, you sold out arenas. But like, it would be fun maybe once or twice, but I couldn't imagine it. I'm very like, I try to be very personable, and I also try to be very relatable. I think sometimes when you get to those stages, you kind of lose from where you started. So I definitely want to keep it small, talk to people, interact. I like being with the people. I want to see more people in my merch. I was thinking about it this year. The merch, I want to start doing something for donating some of the money from the merch to like cancer research or something like that. So I want to come out, you know, for like stuff for breast cancer and leukemia, Alzheimer's. So we're definitely working on different designs and different color schemes to kind of mess around with stuff where I can still promote the show. We can still get some money for that stuff, but we can also give some money to cancer research. And I want to work with some people on how to set that up properly. Outside of that, I don't really have an end goal, man. I just want to work with as many people as possible. I want to be able to still continue to give people quality laughs and, like, create some smiles on people's faces, man. Work days are long.
They are. They're super long. Like, I discovered podcasts a couple of years ago because my friend, he was actually my first guest on the show, Robert Hay, if you're listening to this ever again, thank you. He's the one who was like, hey, have you heard of podcasts? And I was like, no, what's that? And then he, like, gave me a couple of, like, titles. And then I just started listening to podcasts. And then work life got so much better. I was like, oh, wow, it's like I have friends in my head while I'm working.
Exactly.
You know? It's like, exactly. Then I would, like, binge through, like, people's podcast. And actually, the first podcast I ever listened to, they were all solo, like, hosts of podcasts. Like, I wasn't listening to, like, I didn't, because I was listening to, like, storytellers and things like that. And you're a really good storyteller. So that's why, I don't know how I found you, but I found you. And I was like, oh, cool. I like how he just talks. He just says words.
That's literally it. I just get over it. I just start talking about the world.
That's so freeing, you know? So when I was on your show, it was super fun, and we just geeked out about what I wanted to talk about, which was awesome. And at one point, you brought up that you're, like, anti-space exploration. And I was like, what? You know, I never thought of people being against space. Like, did I misinterpret that? Did I exaggerate that?
No, it was not like anti-space, right? So we actually talked about this on another show I was on where, so here's my thing. We out here, we just discovered some more planets, right? Like, oh, yo, we found some more. The thing that bothers me is like, so they already have it where rich people can take trips to space. And so they're essentially trying to go to Mars, right? And they're just essentially about to treat Mars like an outer space suburb. And they're just going to be looking at Earth like some, like, inner city. They're just going to be like, look at Earth. Look at it. Look at all those poor people still down there on Earth. Like, I don't know. Yeah, they're like, look at them in that dilapidated planet. Like, it's one of those things where you're like, yo, that's crazy that y'all are trying to do that. So it has, like, this twinge of, like, classism to it, where it's just like, well, we can afford to go to space, and you guys have to continue living on a planet that is dying. And you're like, yo, that's crazy. Like, why are y'all doing that? Also, too, the only thing about it is I just feel like we haven't spent enough money just exploring the ocean, man. Like, I don't know if we don't have the equipment or people just don't want to do it anymore. Because every couple of years, we get some wild fish we never saw or some wild-ass mammal that pops up on, like, some beach. And they're like, yo, we never even seen this fish. We don't even know what this is. So I'm like, yeah, go down there. And they're like, oh, you know, we, like, it's one of those things, just like you were saying, like a game. Like, somebody started playing the ocean game. They got 6% through it and then was like, I think I've done enough. And you're like, no, there's way more. This is an open platform city. You can do what you want. This is Grand Theft Auto underwater. You can do whatever you want down here. There's no rules. You can do what you want. Go down there. And nobody is trying to go down there.
To do that. You know what? When you said that, I was like, that is so true. And I feel like we could go down there. I mean, we are down there. You made me go on, like, a rabbit hole, like, trek of finding out more about the deep sea. Because I was like, I want to come back to this conversation because I don't really know much about the deep sea. You know?
Right.
I just know it's dark. It's cold. Heavy. There's, like, a lot of pressure. You know?
Yeah.
I'm like, it's dark. It's dangerous. No one's down there except for, like, these deep sea monsters with no eyes.
Yeah.
You know?
But that's what I'm saying. We need to go down there.
We do, because it's like a whole nother world. There's mountains, there's valleys. So I was looking up and I was like, so what can I find out about the deep sea? And so I was like, at what point does the ocean become deep sea? Like, what is, like, the cutoff point? Like, is it 200 feet? Like, is it 1,000 feet? And so I guess it's considered the deep sea once you're beyond the edge of the continental shelf, right? And I was like, what's the continental shelf? Do you know what that is?
I don't know the textbook definition, but I know what it is when I see it. It's like one of those things. So it's essentially where the two pieces meet, right? And then there's just a drop off after that.
Yep, that's exactly what it is. so I was like, Wikipedia says, the continental shelf is an underwater landmass which extends from a continent. I'm like, okay. Resulting in an area of relatively shallow water known as a shelf sea. Much of the shelves were exposed during glacial periods. You know what's funny? When you have to write for, like, in a textbook language, you, like, add extra words that you don't need. And you pick the fanciest words that you can use just because that is expected. But you said it right. That's where it drops off.
See, look at that. Look at that. I'm just a regular guy. That's why I never became a writer.
But I'm not that good of a writer either because, I don't know. I like to keep it short and simple. You know?
I'm super concise. Let's just, this is what this is. It's a piece of land and then there's no more land. That's it. So, yeah.
Right? I'm like, okay. I'm like, don't overcomplicate this. But it's funny because I was like, are we down there? Are we exploring? So I looked and we've been freaking down there. We've been down there mining. They're mining like gold and all these like valuable minerals. Did you know that?
No, I would assume we were down there just doing something, but not research. We're just like, oh, we found more diamonds down here. Yeah.
That's exactly what they've been doing. They've been like low key, not in the news, just making bank, mining the deep ocean. I was like, what? They're like, yeah, it's called deep sea mineral mining. And it's so new and not that many people are doing it that they don't have, like, these laws to protect the habitat. And so, so science is, like, trying to, like, catch up and make these laws, but it's also, like, in international waters, so it's, like, complicated.
Oh, and yeah, super tricky.
So these people who are anonymous, because I don't know who they are, they're like, they're the only ones getting all the gold and they're all the good stuff and like killing all the animals down there. I was like, aw.
Yeah, that's terrible. I feel like those people are also doing it like super illegal stuff where it's like, we're also mining for gold and diamonds and we're doing drug trades because it's international waters and nobody can tell us no. So we're like,
it's probably the same people.
Yeah. Like on our way to mining gold and diamonds, we also brought a ton of cocaine with us. Just, you know, because we need to. Yeah, nobody's telling us no.
Dude, no one's doing that. And they're using these vehicles called ROVs, remote operated vehicles, that like can withstand like deep sea pressures. And they are using like this technology, I guess deep sea fish. Like, they don't have eyes, right? So they have to navigate using, like, these, I don't know the exact term, but something on their body, let me look. It's something on their body that, like, it reacts to the vibrations in the water like you would with, like, hearing.
Oh, yeah,
and
yeah.
And there's like an exact, there's a term for it. I'm like looking for it. But so they like navigate kind of just like using, what do they call it? I found it. Sorry. I'm like talking and trying to talk and read at the same time. Okay. So they just move off of the water flows with these like little organs on their body.
Oh,
and I guess
so,
they're using that. Go ahead. Like paddle boards, kind of.
Is it like a mixture of like sonar and then like the way water gets displaced around them where they're like, oh, there's something coming so we can just get out of the way?
Yeah, which is obvious from our end, but they, you know, they wanted to find out exactly like how are they able to sense that. So they said they used a sensory system called the mechanosensory lateral line system. That detects water flows and low frequency vibrations in the water. So they said it works kind of like the human ear. They have tiny organs called neural masts located on their skin and in canals on their head and body to detect slight movements in the water, which helps them like avoid predators, helps them find prey, and also helps them like swim. without, you know, any vision, you know. And okay. So they're using that same technology for these vehicles. So I was like, wow, the ROVs, remote operated vehicles, so that they don't have to use so much energy to, like, navigate, and nor do they have to, like, have any light. So we're down there, but it's, like, low-key. Like, no one's, like, talking about it, because what they're doing down there is, like, there's nothing, like, heroic. Like, when you go to space, it's like, you're a hero. You know?
Yeah.
When you go to the deep sea to, like, mine for gold and, like, poison the environment, it's, like, not as heroic.
Yeah, but that's also back to the thing that we were talking about when you were on my show, too, where it's, like, it has that, like, theological kind of, like, backdrop to it, right? Like, the further you are in outer space, the closer you are to heaven, per se. And it's just like, yeah, look how close we are. We're all the way through the heavens. And then you're like, well, we went down to the bottom of the sea, and you're like, oh, that's terrible. Like, it's the same way they treat minors, right? Like, if you're like, oh, we went down here and we got into this deep mind and all this other stuff, you're just like, yeah, that's grunt work, or you are looked at as less than, right? And the same thing for the deep sea, you're just like, oh man, you guys are digging down into the earth, that's just nobody wants to do that work, right? And that's like you said, so there's not a lot of people doing that work. But like you said, you go to space, like Buzz Aldrin and all them, like, you went to space one time and you've been getting free meals from Denny's for the rest of your life. Like, yeah. I'm like, all right, you went to space one time. Like, imagine if you did something one time and then everybody just kept bringing that up. Like, yo, remember that time you went to a grocery store? It was awesome. Man, you know what? Let me buy you a drink. Like, it's terrible. It's terrible.
But it is kind of cool, though. I mean, I wish I could go to space. I wouldn't mind. I mean, I'd be down with going to the deep sea, too. If I was going to come back alive, you know, it would be worth it.
Yes, you're going to come back alive. You just have to, like, depressurize. That's it. You just got to get out here, get, you know, decompress
your chamber. And that's so easy, right?
Yeah, just get in there. It's fine. You got to do the same thing if you go to space. You go out there. Listen, they got all these space movies, and you get your hand ripped off by some wild organism that you've never seen before. Listen, every time, like, when they're talking about looking in the water, they use the same three things. They're like, we're going to try to find the biggest shark, or we're looking for the Loch Ness Monster. And I'm like, I know we can't be still spending money looking for the Loch Ness Monster, guys. Come on.
They're looking for gold.
Still...
That's really what they're doing.
Yeah. Now they're using that same money to be like, yeah, we found giant diamonds in the middle of the sea. Like, so, yeah, it all gold pieces. That's terrible.
I know. Oh, I'm sorry. I was supposed to be positive. It was really hard to find positive news on the deep sea. I was trying.
I told you.
I probably could have tried harder.
No, I told you. They're going to make it like it's a sin to go down there. They're like, you want to space? It's so heavenly. I'm like,
I know. I was, you know what? You're absolutely right. I'm like, why is everything, like, negative about how we're poisoning the sea? Like, they're like, we found this, but it's dying. I'm like, oh, no. Like, everything was like, oh, but now we know. Like, this one was like, the ocean circulation changed atmospheric, like, carbon dioxide, right? And so they were able to, like, tell, like, with global warming, like, I think, what did they do? Sorry, I just switched the whole conversation. I don't know. I can't, like, catch up to it. Sorry, guys. I try to, like, crunch in a whole bunch of stuff in, like, the last hour. But, so I don't know what else to say about the deep sea. I want to go, though. I did. If you, what, like, animal would you ever want to, like, what if you could live in the deep sea? Like, if you could, like, live in some sort of Atlantis or something like that. You
would
totally go.
Sign me up. They'd be like, yo, Jay, do you want to go live in Atlantis? And I'd be like, yeah. Why are we not? Why are we even asking me? You don't have to ask me. Just pack my bags. Let's get out of here. Why are we? Yes, let's go down there.
That's a new frontier.
Yeah, that's what I told you, man. They're out here trying to, I'm telling you, they're trying to make Mars some, like, gated community in space, And I'm like, yo, we can be up in the ocean. We could be in the ocean chilling right now.
Oh, you know what? You are so right. You're so right. That reminds me. I read an article tonight where they were like, yeah, when there was a big impact, you know, from the asteroid that, like, made all the dinosaurs and the, like, vertebrae extinct, they're like, the only thing that survived were the tiny fish in the deep sea.
See,
if we were down there, if we were listening to you, we would be able to, like, escape the apocalypse that's pending because you're in the deep sea.
Yeah, I wouldn't have voted or anything. I wouldn't have had to deal with this president. I could have just been in the ocean. Like, look at those land
y'all
people
deal with
dealing
it.
Yeah, look at y'all land people dealing with that administration. I'm down here in the ocean chilling.
Right?
I'm talking to the
let you guys all, like, die off. Yeah. What would we evolve down here? And what would we evolve into? You would, like, lose your eyesight. You'd, like, evolve.
I'm fine with that.
You evolve into a deep sea monster. Not monster. That was precious to me. A deep sea creature.
Yeah, what do you mean? You being prejudiced against monsters? You're like, well, you would be a monster. But, you know, that's monster to prejudice. Like, monster lives matter. I get it. I understand what you're saying. But no, that's the thing. I get it. But but we're adaptive people, right? Like, I feel like I don't think your body would essentially, like, I wouldn't just grow gills, but I do feel like the pressure wouldn't be as bad.
Yeah.
I feel like the pressure would just be like, it's like if you've ever been to Colorado or something, if you just been like, yo, this is a super high altitude, this is stupid. But then after a while, after like a week, you're like, this is fine. I'm used to this now.
I don't know. I mean, I maybe in the short term, because you don't see like massive evolutionary changes within like a couple generations, but you know, thousands of years, you never know. We might find it more efficient to evolve because we're like, you know, it takes less energy and technology to maintain this level of pressure to keep our buildings perfectly synced for, you know, this current body. And then we just, like, you know, wean ourselves off. And then eventually they're all, you know what? We don't even need these walls. And eventually we'll be, like, little fish.
Yeah, but see, that's the thing I'm weird. Like, I'm weirded out about, right? So, like, in the future... Like, it's already, like, the world we live in now, it's already, like, hard for men and women to kind of, like, hook up naturally. I'm not trying to, like, start looking at mermaid booties. Like, I'm just not trying to be like, oh, snap. Yeah, the mermaid kind of thing. Like, I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that.
That's a good point, because I don't think all fish even use sex to reproduce. I think I was reading that somewhere where, you know... Reproduction is not sex is not always necessary for reproduction. So you could very well, like, lose your ability to have sex because there'd be, like, no driving motivation for that.
I don't want to do any of that.
Because do fish have sex? I don't think fish have sex. Do fish have sex?
No. I don't think so. But if living in the deep sea, and I have to give that up, I'm like, you know what? Space ain't that bad. I might change my answer. Because no, we're not doing that. I don't want to evolve like that. That's not the world I want to live in. Some fish don't. They do things differently, where they essentially, like, just lay eggs, and then the male comes by and does, like, a drive-by deal. And I'm like,
exactly what happens. It says, for some species of fish, reproduction is beyond casual. Females release eggs into the water. Males release sperm, and the eggs get fertilized. No physical contact involved. So no, they do not have sex.
Yeah, I don't want any parts of that. Not in my deep sea fantasy. That's not the way that works. No, thank you.
You might have to stay on land with, like, all the other flat land losers.
Oh well, this is, you win some, you lose some. I don't have any parts of that. Somebody's like, yeah, you can go live in an underwater. Exactly, yeah. You'd be like, oh, you can go live in an underwater paradise and escape the world. Like, oh, okay, man, this sounds so awesome. But you can't ever have sex again. So I think I'm going to stay up here. I'm cool with that. Yep. sorry, guys.
good look, baby.
Really good look, baby. Look here. Sometimes wanna be your lover, sometimes wanna be your friend, sometimes wanna hug you, hold hands, slow dance while the record spin. Opened up your heart cause you said I made you feel so comfortable. Used to play back then, now you all grown up like Rudy Huxtable. I could be your bud, you could beat me up. Play fight in the dark, then we both make up. I do anything just to feel your bug. Why you got me so messed up? I don't know, but you gotta stop tripping. Be a good girl now, turn around and get these whips. You know you like it like that. You don't have to fight back. Here's a pillow fight back. And I'll be setting separate plays, so on all these separate days, your legs can go they separate ways.
Tell me again, my baby. Oh, it's a good look, baby.
Well, why do people have sex? Why do you think sex evolved?
You know what? I don't know. I'm a very simplistic man. I think these things feel good. I think intimacy is on at an almost an all-time low, right? Like we're caught in like two ends of the spectrum. The spectrum used to be very wide, but we're kind of in this place now where it's just like the way kind of society is, right? Like, people are still caught up in societal norms, like, oh, if you are a woman and you are this age and you don't have this thing, then they kind of treat you as you are broken, which I feel like is unfair. Mm-hmm.
Say that again. Like, I got lost. So say that again.
So like with societal norms, right, like let's say you're a woman and you're in your early 30s and you don't have a child. Some people, like, you know, they start doing those like microaggressions where they say stuff like, oh, you not ready to have a baby, or the clock's ticking or whatever. And if you're like, yo, I don't want to have a baby, or I'm not into that, or I'm waiting for this thing, they still deem you as a broken person. They're just like, oh, like we're defined by the things we have, right? And especially when it comes to sex, either it's very businesslike, like I'm only having sex to reproduce, and then other people are just like, yo, I'm just having sex because it feels good. I think like it doesn't seem to be as cut and dry as people try to make it. We're just like, no, you know, sex is cool. It's somebody else is giving you their body is a thing that I think that a lot of people kind of lose, right? We still have those like patriarchal things where they're like, we shame women for having sex, but like give men props for that. Like, yes, you more sex for you, sir. You get to, you know, run around and say that you had sex with multiple women. If a woman's like, yeah, I don't mind having, you know, X amount of partners, you're like, this woman is terrible. Like, that is, which I feel like is not,
I know,
which is not fair. Where I'm like, yeah, no, that's fine. So I try to make it the same analogy on my show where I'm just like, everybody wants a woman that's experienced, but then you also want a virgin. You can't have that. Also, do you guys not test drive cars before you go buy them? Are you just like, yes, this car should do everything I want to do? Did you drive it? No. Well, that's terrible. You should go take it out for a ride.
Do you think that people assign all these rules for sex because that was motivated by health reasons, like in the past, like you, not only health, but like, you know, they're like, they're going to be possessive because they need to be preserving resources for their offspring, you know, so it wasn't good to have, you know, too many, and, you know, so do you think things like that, you know, has some sort of social benefits, like, that's why these rules have been created, and now those benefits are not necessary because we have condoms and but do you think at some point it did have a purpose, like why people made up these kind of rules?
Well, no, I think they all kind of essentially came from church, right? I don't think the scientific part of it came into play till much later, but like, you know, you can look into the Bible where they're just like shaming women for you know, the whole babies out of wedlock.
I'm saying, I know, but that's all a sense of, like, ownership. So I'm saying, exactly. Just like with mammals and you see with, like, lions and, you know, there's this ownership thing and my pride and my cubs and, you know, yeah. And it's because of survival. And I'm saying is that our, like, apish behavior, you know, that was, like, what we did and that evolved into, you know,
I don't know.
Patriarchal, like, societies and things like that.
I think that would be, I mean, I could see, like, I can definitely make that correlation. I can see how you can get those things. But I also feel like we as a society should be able to get to a point where we can break that, right? Just because,
yeah.
Like, yeah.
We should evolve.
Yeah.
Do we have to stay the same?
Yeah. I don't have to be like, oh, well, we had sex one time, so you're mine now. Like, it doesn't, this is not Game of Thrones.
Are you
this
sure?
Is not how that works.
Are you sure?
Yeah, like, yeah.
That's
I don't
how it works
that.
When you're in high school.
Yeah, no,
it works with me. You're like, hey,
yeah.
You're mine now. Aren't we boyfriend
yeah.
and girlfriend now? Like,
yeah. Yeah,
I heard you talking
like,
about that the other day on, who is it, Crystal Clear or someone's
yeah.
podcast, where they're like, hey, isn't this like our new rule? What podcast was it? So I can like shout them out.
Yeah, no, it was the Crystal Clear podcast. I think she was talking about like infidelity and stuff like that. And,
yeah, exactly.
So my whole thing was, like, on the flip side, like, I'm an open relationship advocate where I'm just like, yeah, you guys don't, titles don't really mean anything. Like, people try to always do that thing where, like, if I give you a title, you're mine. It's still ownership. There was a lot of other stuff going on in that. I was like, there was a lot of stuff
yeah.
that we covered in that show, and I was like, oh, yeah, I got a fair amount of emails. I got a fair amount of emails about, like, people who disagreed. And I was like, hey, listen, guys, just because, you know, y'all go to church every Sunday and they tell y'all to believe in something, doesn't mean you have, it's not really the law, guys. But,
right.
Yeah, it was one of those things that was funny.
Yeah, it was interesting. It just reminded me. This brings to mind, so we're talking about sex. I'm like, so why should we have sex? You're like, well, you want sex because it feels good. Other people want sex for whatever reason.
Right.
So, this is a question that science, like, asks themselves. They're like, so why does sex exist when organisms that clone themselves use less time and energy and you do not need a mate to produce, right? So they're like, why do we even have sex? Why did we evolve to even have sex, right? And they found that animals that have sex, like, even if they're the same species, some species can reproduce via sex, and at the same time,
right.
they can also reproduce by just cloning themselves to say there's no mate around, right?
Right.
And they found that the ones that reproduce sexually, their offspring survived from, illness. They're less sickly. And so they were
right.
thinking that maybe sex evolved for us because it has, like, immunity benefits, like different bacteria and things like that. So it's actually, like, fighting infection. So sex evolved, they think, possibly to ward off infections. And we have behavior, you know, where we're like, it feels good, and that encourages us to have sex as far as humans. But I don't know if all animals enjoy sex, but it does have a benefit as far as, like, you're less likely to have sick kids. And I wonder, when people start cloning their kids, you know, with the gene babies that'll be in the next generation, if their kids are going to be, like, not as healthy as us, because, you know, science has already shown that, you know. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah. No, yeah, I do. I think that's the same thing, too. Like, if you breastfed, that those kids tend to ward off most sicknesses, and then they tend to be smarter. Like, not to be too graphic, but if somebody told me, like, hey, man, if you, like, apply your mouth to a boob, that you will become smarter, there would be, like, I would just be like, yeah, I don't drink water anymore. I'm just out here on a search for boobs. So, yeah, that's, like...
I think
that,
there's guys that, like that.
Yeah, well, yeah, no, I did actually, yeah, I did that on an episode of the show. Like, that's a whole nother thing. We can get into, that's some scientific thing we can get into another time. But, yeah, Yeah, I think that is the thing, right? Like, if somebody, like, genuinely, like, you telling me that, I can already hear, like, some dude listening to the show being like, he's about to go to a bar and tell a woman, like, we should have sex because I just want to keep each other, like, we just need to keep each other safe. I just want to just not be sick. Where I can just not take vitamin C. And you're like, I don't want to take vitamin C anymore, but I think we should go in the bathroom and fool around because I don't want to get sick. It's cold.
I'm not exactly saying that.
Yeah, I just can see some dude bending the rules like,
yes,
hey, I listen to this podcast.
Right.
I listen to this,
hey, but
listen
is he still... But he's not bending the rules. I mean, that is what they're saying. Shaded. That may be the, you know, why we evolved to, why did this behavior evolve, you know, for us.
Yeah.
So he's actually right. Now,
shout out to that guy.
Well, he's actually right. It might work. It might work, you know. It might just be in the right mood. He might have had enough drinks. The vibe is there. I mean, that's kind of sexy. That's kind of sexy, you know? If a guy's like, oh, and I'm going to drop some science on you. Oh, right. I'm like, okay. Now, the thing is, will she believe him? Will she believe him, though? Will she be like, that's just some bullshit story?
Yeah. Yeah, I would just slide. I would do that later. I'm going to just slide in somebody's DMs and be like, I just need you to keep me safe. I just want you to be, I don't want to die.
And just send them a link to the article. Like, here's the source.
Fighting
the source.
Yeah, because I was about to say, like, the other thing I was going to say probably wouldn't have been the right thing. So you could go, you could be like, all right, yeah, here's a link to this article. And you could be like, oh, yeah, look, I just want you to keep me safe because I don't want to die.
Yeah.
I don't want to get shingles or whatever.
And you guys, I will be putting links to the article of how I got to this, like, meandering conversation. But just for you guys who are verbal, you remember things verbally, I will cite this one. It's the University of Stirling, Sex Evolved to Help Future Generations Fight Infection, Scientists Show. Science Daily, December 20th, 2016. And that will be in the show notes. So you guys, go ahead. Sex Evolved to Help Future Generations Fight Infection. Google it, you'll find it.
See, look at y'all. All right, get out there and start telling people...
Oh, wait, and then I'm going to get comments like, why are you advocating sex with, like, no protection? That's not good. Yeah, I was not saying that.
Even if you would have said, like, yo, put a condom on, somebody still would have been like, somebody would have twisted it and be like, nah, she said don't put nothing on. Like, now you just got a bunch of pregnant women
save
blaming a dope
sex,
science
you guys.
Show. Yeah. Like,
well, safe sex, this is for reproduction, so you better be intending to have a child.
Oh,
like, whatever. You interpreted this. I'm a little loopy.
Yeah.
It's Friday.
Yeah, I'm like, we're doing this for babies? Oh,
I don't know what I'm saying anymore.
We're doing this to make babies? I thought we were just doing this for fun.
I don't know what I'm saying.
I want to stay safe.
I'm like, where's it happening? But I always love to end the show with getting the soundtrack for the podcast. So tell me now, what three songs off the top of your head right now do you want on the show for your show?
Oh, man, three songs. This is so tough. Why would you do this to me? I was prepared for. All right, I'm gonna do Lloyd Banks, Smile. I feel like that's good. I'm gonna do G Unit, Stunt 101, and I'm gonna do. This is tough. I feel like I should pick a slow song.
I don't know.
I'm gonna do Little John and Usher, Lovers and Friends. Boom, there you go.
Oh, that's gonna be good. That's gonna be really good.
Those three, I just picked that out of my head right now.
That's gonna be fun. I always love, like, the new music, because a lot of times, like, I may not have ever heard the song before, and so now I get to listen to it multiple times. And before I put it in the show, because I listened to it over and over and over, I forgot what portion was in the show. So thanks.
Okay.
Yeah. So I also have to get you to do the intro for the next show. So you say your name, however you want to introduce yourself, and you tell the audience that you are on the Dope Science Show, and you can say with Steph or Science Steph with Steph, or just you're on the Dope okay. Science Show, whatever comes out.
All right. You want me to start now?
Whenever you're ready. Yeah.
Hey, this is Jay from Just Say Words, and you can hit me up on Twitter at Just Say Words Pod. I'm on the Dope Science Show with Steph.
Awesome. That was pretty good. You can tell you're a solo. You're like, I'm used to this.
Yeah, I think I've been doing this, like I don't want to say I won't be doing this enough, but, like, I think the promo part, I used to mess up on my show so much, so I got it to the point where I could just say it without even, like, thinking about it. It's just, like, it's like a muscle now where I'm just like, oh, I remember how to do that. I can just do this now. Like, I could not do my show for like a month and then just like out of nowhere, just do the whole beginning of the show, like boom, 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 boom. So I was like, oh yeah, this is really good.
Oh, do you do it every single time? I thought you were like using a recording.
No, I do it from scratch every time. Like I just hit record and say the thing, like this and this. Yeah, that's the thing. Like I said, it's like a muscle. That's why I think everybody's show who is different. Like the beginnings of your show are completely different. I think you guys have a different muscle than what I have, where I'm just like, oh yeah, they get to bring in on a guest every day. Like, I wish I had this kind of format, like the one you have, where it's like I can get somebody to come on all the time, or very conversational, where it's like it's a solo show, but it's not a solo show, where you're like, oh, I always have somebody on.
Yeah.
So yeah, like I'd be interested. Yeah, like I think that's incredible. But I feel like it's a lot of work on your part, right?
It is a lot of work.
Yeah.
But I like
it. I'm scared of that. Yeah.
See, of all the work?
That thing. Yeah, like I'm very afraid of that thing because, like, I also have this thing where I don't depend on people. And it's hard for me to, I won't say hard for me to trust. That sounds like some broken story where I'm like, I'm a hard man and I don't trust people. But it's like, it's one of those things where I'm just like, I'm also very time oriented. Like, so even though when you hit me up, like I've been thinking about this interview all week. So I'm just like,
aww.
I can't let her down. I got to be there 10 minutes earlier. I got to be there like 5 minutes early. Yeah. And then there's no problem. But it's one of those things too, where like I've had people on the show and they're like, yeah, I'm going to be there. And then like, I'm waiting to Skype them in or FaceTime them. And they're like, oh, I fell asleep. Or, oh, I went and did something else. And I'm like, oh, well, crap. Well, now I can't put out a show because I had to wait on you. So that's why you see so many shows where there's gaps between where I don't have a guest or they're all bundled up where it's like, now everybody wants to act right. Like, oh, I'm going to be on your show now. So, we're just definitely going to have to do that.
Yeah, it was definitely fun. It's super fun, and I admire what you do, and I look forward to working with you again and being a part of, like, the podcast community. It's so nerdy, and I love it. I'm like, I'm a podcast nerd, and I like that, so it's cool.
No, it's cool. You know what I was thinking about, too, and I don't know. I don't want to be all in your business, but I wanted to talk to you about something that you had recently said, and I was like, yo, this is kind of, I think this is a side of you that I haven't seen, and it's like I'm intrigued by it, right? So I was watching your like Instagram story. I don't eat grapefruit, but you made it look delicious. I'm like, why is she making this grapefruit look so good? Why does grapefruit look so damn?
It was so good. It's so good. Yeah. Oh my God. It was so good.
I'm about to get a grapefruit when I get off work. This is incredible. And then on top of that, when you were saying stuff about like relationships or like people like that, and I was kind of thinking like, I don't know, like I know, does it sound like you're a person who's into like long distance relationships or anything like that? And I was like, yeah, I just kind of want to pick your brain about like how, one, like, do you find things to be different? I feel like you're educated, like you're a well-rounded woman, you're educated and stuff like that. So I always kind of feel like I hear a lot of women being like, I would keep running into the same kind of person or the same kind of man. And I was always like, yeah, I kind of want to pick Steph's brain about like relationships and stuff. Because I find...
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, that I don't, like, I don't have to... Well, it's not that I don't have access to a whole bunch of educated women, but it's just one of those things where I'm like... Like, I don't know. I also don't know what type of dude you're into. So it's kind of funny. Because, like, I wanted to essentially to see, like, a thug and be like, yep, Steph is one of those girls. Like, oh, I'm really educated and I'm into science. And it's a dude with, like, a do-rag with the cape out. And I'd be like, oh, yeah. He likes those kind of guys.
Nope. I'm not sure what my type is. But so far, not... Good luck. I have fun. I meet really interesting people. That's what gets me. I'm really into, like, interesting people. But
yeah,
they're not always, like, emotionally available. And that's where I'm like, argh! That's what I was like. That's what I was.
Yeah.
That's, like, my thing.
I think that's the thing where I'm always hung up on, where I'm like, I don't know if this is, like, a sliding scale, but I don't know. When you say emotionally unavailable, are they just like, is he like a not caring man where he's just like, oh, I'm going through something, and he's just like, I don't know how to whatever, I don't know how to deal with that, or is it just like,
it's more like, you know what, I think that we should do it on your show, and then all this audience right now that's listening, they're gonna have to listen to the show, and then I'll explain it.
Okay.
I think that's what we'll do, and we'll continue it, because I love it when conversations are fresh, so,
okay,
off the top, so I would definitely love to do that.
Okay.
That'll be awesome, and really interesting.
We will set that up.
Yay, so I appreciate it, and I could talk and talk forever, but I gotta let you go, but that's definitely... Do the show again, and is there anything else you wanted to say, or one last goodbye to like the audience?
No, I think I'm good. I think we covered a lot. I really appreciate you for having me on. I appreciate all this stuff. I know you're gonna have fun editing this. We had a lot of good laughs, so
yeah.
I appreciate you for having me.
All right. Well, I'll talk to you soon, Jay. It was super, super awesome, and you were really, really interesting.
All right. Well, thank you.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
Wow, wasn't that a fun episode? It was really great. I had a lot of fun just meandering. That's, like, the best. Especially when you are learning something, it's almost like an improv thing. You're like, oh, and what a... And you spark a new thought. Oh, what was that? You know, so I hope you guys enjoyed the show, and I was going to tell you a funny story, or to me, it was funny. So I have a dog named Louie, and Louie, when he got here, they said he was neutered, and I swear I never saw any balls. I was like, I never saw any balls. He seemed neutered, but one day I saw balls. I was like, why does he have balls? I was like, why? I see balls. I was like, I see balls. And I was talking about it at work. I'm like, how do you know if your dog was really neutered? Like, how big are the testicles on a small dog? Like, I've never really looked. I'm not that familiar with pets. This is my first dog. And so, of course, I started looking online. I was like, dog testicles, size, average size, dog testicles. And I came home and I told my daughter, who's 11, hey, how do we know Louie's neutered? I know, like, they said he was neutered, but I saw balls. And she was like, Mommy, look, he has this little scar, this little tattoo where his balls used to be. And, like, my mom or someone interjected with, like, maybe their intestines fill that space up. Like, it can look like they have balls, but they really don't. What do you guys say about that? How do you know if your dog is really neutered? I saw online that sometimes you think they're neutered, but they're not. Because he was marking things, too. So... yeah, so on that tip, you guys, I hope you enjoyed the show, and I'll talk to you soon. Peace.
All right, that's all good.
Can I help you?
Yeah, I'm looking for something, you know, great body, a lot of power, you know, something can handle the curves.
Oh, I got that. Right here. You want to get in?
Yeah, let's get in. Yeah, I like this. This is tight.
Well, this design is a classic, and it's very easy on the eye. And it's known to stop traffic, too.
Yeah, I could take it for a test drive.
If you can meet the requirements, I can extend the courtesy.
Extend the courtesy?
I'm stunt, my wrist stay rocked and my TVs pop up in the Maybach Benz. I shoot you out of stunt, you can't see me, my Bentley GT got smoke rating. I shoot you out of stunt, my neck stay gleaming, my rims stay gleaming, I'm shining, man. I shoot you out of stunt, I see you scheming, keep on dreaming, I hurt you, man. I shoot you out of stunt.
7 Series BM, 6 Series Benz, 24 inches, Giovanni rims. All one wheel when I'm on one of them. All that boy out there acting a fool, that's him. Say I change, man, I'm getting paper, I'm flashy. They like me better when I'm f***ed up and ashy. My royalty checks the rebirth for Liberace. Stunt so hard, everybody gotta watch me. And I don't really care if it's platinum or white gold. Long since BS bling, they got that light show. In the hood they say 50, man, your sneaker look right, yo. Just can't believe Reebok did a deal with a psycho. Banks is a show, dang me, I might blow. Finna drop that, so I suggest you really low. But he from Cashville, getting. Stay tipping me.
I shoot you out of stunt. My wrist stay rocked till my TVs pop up in the Maybach Benz. I shoot you out of stunt. You can't see me. My Bentley GT got smoke rating. I shoot you out of stunt. My neck stay blingin', my rims stay gleamin'.